Let's welcome in our very special guest.
Well, I think they should give it to Dylan Alcott, because do you? I think that's the positive story. He's battled through adversity. I think he's a smoky, and I think he oozes inspiration.
I was lucky enough to win a gold medal for Australia in Beijing, and then now I'm back playing tennis, and I'm absolutely loving it.
I just played tennis for 24 hours non-stop. It was the most ridiculous and painful idea I've ever done.
This right here is a photo of me when I was 14 years old. Now, I know what you're thinking. Dylan, mate. Are you sure that's not Ryan Gosling?
Please say hello to Ryan Gosling.
Dylan Alcott, OAM, is with me out here in the caravan at Huntingdale. He's one of the nominees for the Newcombe Medal. It is tennis's Night of Nights tomorrow night, alongside Sam Groth, Thanasi Kokkinakis, John Pearce, Casey Dellacqua, and Sam Stosur. But what a year, winning the Australian Open all the way back in January, and just recently taking out the US Open over there in New York. Dylan, great to have you here.
G'day, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Big golf fan as well. You're out here to taking a bit of the golf today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm a horrible golfer, though, I must say, but it is, it's great to be out here, yeah.
What an honour to get a nomination for the Newcombe Medal. When you first heard that news, what was the immediate reaction?
Oh, look, it's humbling to be nominated. And I mean, I had a great year. I really did play some good tennis, and it was great to come back and hear that. And you know what? They've always had an athlete with a disability category, which is great. But to be recognised as an elite athlete first and foremost, who just happens to have a disability and happens to use a wheelchair as how I play, it's humbling. And I really can't thank Tennis Australia enough for the nomination. It's going to be a great night.
Because tennis is your first love. You went to basketball. Hey, won a gold medal in Beijing, outstanding. And then you've come back to tennis in the last couple of years. And I just want to go back just recently, which is fresh in people's minds, that epic match you played in New York at the US Open. That was something else.
It was unbelievable, yeah. I was number two in the world at the time, and the world number one, David Wagner, he's American, and the winner got the world number one ranking and the US Open, and I was actually killing him. I was up 6-1, 2-love, and then got real tight, and thinking about it, end up going about 3.5 hours, and I won 7-5 in the third, and yeah, to do it over away from Australia, you know, in a hostile environment in America where he was from, it was incredible. We actually had Roger Federer's parents watch the whole match in front of thousands of people, and we went upstairs afterwards, and it was incredible how many people watched it and saw it, which was great for our sport.
Unbelievable. Bodge, Paul, over to you guys.
Dylan, tell us, mate, some of the people you've met on your travels as a player.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things about the wheelchair tennis circuit is a lot of it's in conjunction with the able-bodied tournaments, and for most sports it's not really like that. And I think the US Open's where you meet, to share the locker room with, you know, Roger and Rafa, and see how they all go about it, it's just incredible. And I mean, Roger Federer, you know, 5 minutes before playing the final, he's doing his hair in the mirror, relaxed, you wouldn't even know he's about to play a tennis match, when, you know, Rafa and these guys are like, you know, boxing and skipping and working out. It's just so funny seeing the different way they go about it. And I think, you know, the US Open's great for people watching. After I won, Roger Federer's dad came up and said, I want you to meet someone. And it was Roger was having dinner with himself, Bradley Cooper, Leonardo DiCaprio. It's just a different world over there. So it was fun.
Dylan, your story is absolutely amazing and so inspirational. And look, at the end of last year, you played tennis for 24 hours, raised money for the Starlight Foundation. You then went on to win the Australian Open. You then went on to win the US Open. Now you're nominated for a Newcomb medal. What's 2016 looking like for you? What's left to conquer?
I was going to say, I've got a lot to live up to next year, but it's I've had a good year. But it's
been a little carrot dangling for 2016.
I was going to say, there's only been a handful of athletes in the history of the Olympics or Paralympics that have won two gold medals in two different sports across two different games. So that's what I'm looking at. Obviously, I want to defend the Grand Slams, but that gold medal is everything. And I'm going to be training, you know, every day thinking about that and leaving no stone unturned, because I'd love to be that person that can do that.
We might open up the lines too. 9429 1116, Dylan Alcott, our special guest, one of the nominations for the Newcombe Medal tomorrow night. If you're a tennis fan, you want to pose a question to Dylan, you are certainly welcome to join us. 9429 1116. And all our callers, a chance to win a family pass for an Australian Open guided tour down at Melbourne Park, thanks to Tennis World. You too can have a Grand Slam experience with Tennis World, court hire, coaching, function rooms, and a whole lot more. Tennisworld.net.au. Going to every caller that does call in. So just outside of the two major victories this year, just sort of take us through your year and some of the far-flung places you get to, and just the overall wheelchair tennis scene.
Yeah, so tennis, it's been great for me. I mean, apart from getting a sensational tan traveling the world, but I do... I do love it. And we're on the circuit. You know, I was away 6 months of the year, same kind of as the able-bodied. The 8 weeks in Europe I did, Asia, South Africa we went to. It's unbelievable. And these, I mean, it was very tough for Paralympians, you know, 10 years ago. You had to pay to do everything. And these days, you know, we're marketable as athletes. So we're starting to get sponsors and can join the world tour like our able-bodied counterparts. And I'm lucky to say that I'm, you know, currently reaping the benefits of that. The athletes have passed. It was a lot tougher. And as we move forward, hopefully more young athletes can get involved and get to the opportunities that I've had, because I'm really lucky. I think I won nine or ten titles, I think it was, and two of them being the Grand Slam. So it was all the hard work, you know, it was a lot of training. It did pay off. And I mean, we all love tennis, but it is a lot of lonely nights on the roads and things like that. But I'm lucky to be back home in Melbourne and enjoying myself and really looking forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, beauty.
Just on that, Dylan, I love watching wheelchair athletes play, and the training involved, the physical and the conditioning, what does that entail?
Yeah, I think a lot of people actually, we train just as much as our able-bodied counterparts, as I said. So yes. I train 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. So, you know, five on-court sessions, three gym sessions, a sprint session, sometimes even a swim. And I think the thing people don't realise is I'll go to the gym, I'll use my upper body, and then I'll play tennis and I'll use my upper body, and then I'll get in my car and I'll use my upper body, and it's non-stop.
Yeah, I think you've got Rafa covered there with the guns,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, I was going to, well, it comes with the territory. He's probably a lot better at leg press than I am, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, you really have to look after ourselves, because if I, you know, do my shoulder or something like that, I can't even get out of bed. I can't go to the bathroom. I can't do things like that. So you do have to look after our bodies. And these days, to be the best in the world or to be in the top 10 or whatever, you have to train non-stop as an elite athlete, because if you don't put in the hours, you're just not going to win. And in the Paralympic in the past, there wasn't as much training and that put into it. But yeah, these days, if you want to win those gold medals and those Grand Slams, it's a full-time athlete's job. So it is a lot of work, but I'm definitely enjoying it.
And you also work as a motivational speaker, inspiring the youth of today to change the way they perceive people with disabilities. Obviously, in the intro there, there was a little bit there from your TED Talk, which I actually watched this year in Sydney, and it was absolutely amazing to watch you do that. And that's not an easy thing to prepare for, is it?
Oh, it's a lot harder than playing tennis, I'll tell you that much. But I really want to be a bit of a trailblazer and get a job actually in the mainstream media when I retire, and other television or radio. There's just not enough positive role models with disability out there. And I use the example, you know, imagine if Bruce McAvaney was in a wheelchair or Malcolm Turnbull or whatever. The next time somebody saw someone in a wheelchair or with any disability, it would just go a long way to normalising that. And I'd love to do that. And as I said, I just don't think there's enough of that out there. But that's why what Tennis Australia has been so great. You know, they're putting us out there as an elite athlete who is trying to change that perception. And I'm very lucky to be out there on the forefront of doing that.
Absolutely. Bouncing Billy on the SMS here, Dylan. Give him the nuke medal now, superstar. So there's one vote. I'm sure there'll be plenty more. I just want to get your take on, you know, who you're up against tomorrow night. It's really interesting for us at Follow Tennis. And we look at the names that have been nominated, and there's sort of a compelling story for just about everyone there. I mean, this is probably when it first started. Sam was a bit of a Monty. She was going to win early on. That's when she was at the peak. Won the US Open, staying in the top 20. Nick obviously emerging last year. Nick and Bernard obviously not in contention this year. But what's your take on just the other contenders?
Oh, look, it's unbelievable to be nominated with the other guys. And, you know, we all train together in Melbourne a lot, and I've become good mates with Grothy and Tanasi in particular. Yeah. And it's going to be a great night. And I've always said, how do you compare apples and oranges? Like, it's everyone's had such different years, such different stories. So I'm not jealous of the job of Nuke and the guys who's picking it, because it's going to be tough. But I honestly think any of the six of us six can win, so it's going to be very interesting.
But as we played in the intro, Paul, you were adamant this time last week that you thought Dylan should win the Nuka medal.
Oh, mate, I'm good at getting on bandwagons, but he's got my vote.
Good on you, Paul. I like it.
No, I'm with Paul as well. I think you're in for a really great shot, Dylan. And look, like you said, there's six nominees. First time there's actually been six. In the past, it's always been four. So I think that's a true reflection of how Australian tennis is travelling at the moment. And I wish you all the very best of luck for tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. And look, there's just so many great players that we all train with down in Melbourne, and it's such a tight-knit group, and we all get treated each other like professionals. And to be there on the night of nights with a chance of winning the biggest gong, the Brownlow of tennis, as it's known, the Nuke, it's going to be a humbling experience, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it certainly is a great night. Stick with us, because you're going to join in the tennis discussion, because there's a fair bit to get through. The ATP World Tour Finals. We'll look back at the Fed Cup last week, which the Czech Republic have just had an absolute Monty on all that, and lots of other tennis news floating around as players head into their off-season, training, coaching, changes. changes. A whole lot to come. You can join us anytime, 9429 9429 1116. The first serve, we're underway.